since it's like your guys' first day. So the rule is that we're not allowed to be on our phones during the service, or your iPod, or your iPad, or your tablet, or your Google Glasses, or whatever it may be. You're not allowed to be on those during the service, and that's because high school started a rule so that you'll be better prepared for high school. We've started that rule as well. So, does everybody have Philippians 4? Verse 8 is where we're going to start. Philippians 4, 8. If you got it, say got it. Bailey's got it. It's Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, right there, Colossians. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to Thrive Junior High. Hey, Ben. How you doing? Good. So turn to Philippians 4, 8, 4, 8. That was like 8. And when you got it, stand on your feet, and we'll read it together. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, it's just like a two-page book, so it's a little tricky to find. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you've gotten to Thessalonians or Timothy, you've gone too far. If you're at like Romans or Corinthians, you've not gone far enough. Okay, so I'm going to start reading in verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." And then maybe turn your page once to verse 23, or it might be at the bottom. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Let's pray. Dear God, we are so thankful to be able to study your word together, and we're thankful that it is powerful, Lord. Your word says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. So we want your word to make an impact in our hearts and to change our lives today, and we pray that we would have a clear understanding of what you have for us and that we wouldn't be distracted by anything in this room. And I ask that you would fill me with your spirit to speak your word to each of us, and that we would all grow in you together this morning. And we pray this in your name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, have a seat, guys. Does anybody like superheroes? Does anybody like supervillains? Does anybody not like superheroes? Like, against anti-heroes? Are you like a villain or a villain fan? You don't like any of that? Wow, okay, I understand. So, while I was growing up, there was a super popular villain. And he's not so popular anymore, because like the Joker and some other characters have taken over. But back in the day, this guy was like the worst. He was so bad. And like everybody love-hated him, like it was a love-hate relationship. And it was a man called Edward Nigma. Does anybody know who that is? Yeah? The Riddler, yes! Ooh, he knows his stuff. So, a year before I was born, a movie came out. It was called Batman Forever. And in this movie, Edward Nigma is like an inventor, scientist, mad guy, and he makes an invention, and Bruce Wayne is like against it, and he doesn't support him, and then like he gets super mad, and he turns on the city of Gotham, and he makes a thing. It's called the 3D box. It's called Nigma's 3D box, and he's not selling it as the Riddler, but he's selling it as Edward Nigma. And what this 3D box does is every person in Gotham who bought it, it would show them like a 3D image of their TV while also brainwashing them and like sucking the information out of their brains. And then the Riddler would like sit on his throne and collect the information into his head. It was crazy. So, a Gotham reporter, she once said that the critics say the box turns Gothamites into zombies, but Edward Nigma just says that's what they said when the TV was invented. So, people are seeing every person in Gotham buy this 3D TV, and then when they watch it, they're brainwashed, and it like makes them into zombies. They just become like the ultimate of ultimate couch potatoes. And so, in honor of the Riddler and how crazy he is, we've called this teaching today Brainwashed, or hashtag brainwashed, because I think hashtags are funny. So, the title of this morning's teaching, if you're taking notes, it's hashtag brainwashed. And it's really because in this world, and I don't think I need to tell you guys this, but you already know it very well, that in this world, there are so many things pulling for our attention in every direction. You know, there's the touchscreen device, the iPad or the iPod. There's the TV that has like 800 million channels, and Netflix, and Hulu, and whatever else you can watch TV on. I don't know what else. But there's things in our pockets, on the screens, on the billboards, on the computers, on everything that's pulling for our attention. So, people that like analyze generations, they've called us Generation Z. And I say us because I was like the last year born into Generation Z, so I'm part of your guys' generation, technically. But I'm like a really old person in it. I'm like the oldest that you can be in Generation Z. And what that means is that you were just born in the last 20 years, within that, basically. So, what they've looked at with Generation Z has been very misunderstood. You guys are like the most misunderstood generation, which is kind of cool. You can be like, we're mysterious, nobody knows us, no one gets us, no one connects with us. But it's also kind of crazy because we have gadgets, we have touch screens, we're like able to play with video games with people who aren't in the same room as us. That's crazy. Our parents, our grandparents, our like cousins who are just 10 years older than us could have never dreamed of playing video games with someone that's not in the same room. And it's normal for us, right? You guys think Facebook, having like an actual relationship with someone that you've never ever seen and like lives in Antarctica, but because they have a Facebook, you're friends, and you consider that an actual friendship. That is like unheard of before just 10 or 8 years ago. Touch screens, video games. Now we wear like video game goggles so that the video game is everywhere and anywhere. No, I'm just kidding. That's a little extreme. But because of all this stuff coming at us, we have developed something, and you guys have especially developed it, that researchers call an 8-second filter. Now, a lot of people are afraid of the 8-second filter. They're scared of what it's turning our people into. But what it is because you see so much and are exposed to so many like advertisements, so many options for watching TV, so many options to read, so many games to play, you've developed an 8-second filter in which you give everything a minimum of 8 seconds, or a maximum, I guess, of 8 seconds to see if it's worth your time. So let's say you're like scrolling on your iPad or your parents' iPad, and then there's like a whole bunch of things you're seeing. You won't give anything more than 8 seconds unless it catches your attention within that. And if not, you'll just move right along. So here's an example. Has anybody been on like the App Store that's like on a device, you know, where you buy apps and games? Okay. Everybody knows the App Store. And there's like billions, maybe not billions, but millions of apps on the App Store, to where if you just type in games, like thousands of games are gonna pop up. And when we flick through those games, we're not gonna click on every one and like give it an hour of investment and consider what it's going to do in our future. No, we're just gonna be like, oh, that looks lame, oh, that looks girly, oh, that looks like a boy game, oh, that looks super action-packed, I love action, I'm gonna get it. You know, that's what we do. We just flip through super quick, not giving it much attention. And it can be the 8-second filter. It can be a really cool tool, or it can just kind of turn us into zombies and we can be like brainwashed by the things that we don't invest. So today, Paul's final exhortation, or his final encouragement to us, is going to show us how we should use our attention in this world, what we should give it to, what we should allow to take our attention, and This is the last section of Philippians. This is like his final conclusion. Even though earlier on, I think in like chapter 3, he starts it off with finally and then says some stuff. But he's like a normal teacher when they're just like in conclusion and then they teach for another like 30 minutes. And then they're like, finally, these are my last words. And then they teach for like another 5. And then they're like, I'm seriously done. I'm letting you guys go. And then they like pray. That's kind of what he's doing. He's just a classic Bible teacher. But what we're looking at today, these are his final thoughts, his final words. And I think we're going to see that so often, a person's final thoughts are some of the most important words that they will say. So, if you're taking notes today, we're going to look at two things that Paul is showing us that we should do with our attention. And that first thing is what we should focus on. Paul's going to tell us what to focus on. And then second, he's going to show us how to focus on it. So that's one, what to focus on, and two, how to focus on it. So let's look at what to focus on. This is a really good thing to look at because have you guys ever heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out? Have your moms ever said that? Your dads ever said that? Your mean aunt ever like, garbage in, garbage out? Well, what it means is basically that what you watch, what you read, who you hang around with, what you eat, technically, garbage in. So if you're watching things that are garbage, that aren't beneficial, then you're going to produce garbage. You're going to start acting not so good. You're going to start talking not so good. You're going to start, like if you eat garbage, your breath is going to smell bad. You know what I mean? So what goes in, something just as bad will often come out. So Paul gives us a huge list in verse 8 that describes the types of things that we should be putting our focus on. He says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is any virtue, if it's praiseworthy. That's a huge list. So we're going to kind of break it down the word by word and see what each thing means, and then see if we can kind of find things that are good for us to give our attention to. So first, Paul says, whatever things are true. And this just means something that's not deceptive, something that's not lying. Just recently, I got some mail, and I never get mail, so I got really excited. It was addressed to me, it was personal, it knew how old I was, and I was like, oh, yes, I got mail. And I opened it up, and it was like a job opportunity. They were like, hey, you can work for us, and all you have to do is apply, and it's really fun, and it's a good job, and it looks fun, we'll work around your hours. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And then my dad walked up, and he was like, look, son, it costs $18 to send in an application. And he was like, they're ripping you off. And I was like, oh, no. It's true. And so they were just deceiving. I'm sure they were going to give a job to somebody, but they were really just hoping that a whole bunch of people would send in $18 applications and then they would make quick money real quick. So, and I was really bummed about that because I was really happy to get some mail and that someone wanted me to work for them, but it was false. So that wasn't true. And then Paul says, things that are noble. This is anything or anyone that acts in a way or thinks in a way that makes them worthy of respect. So have you ever been around somebody that's like, they're super like calm and they like have really good posture and everything they say is like wisdom. They're just like, you should not run that way because in actuality we will both get there at the same time because you will be tired. No, like, you know, the person that always has that wise saying, you know, the wise owl, someone who's worthy or something that's worthy of respect. There's a lot of things in this world that try to get our respect, that want us to look up to them, but oftentimes they're not truly, truly worthy. They're not truly noble. They're not worthy of our respect. And then he says things that are just. This is something that is not wrong, but from God's standard. So it's not something that we ourselves would look at and say, oh, I think that's okay, but it's something when we look at the commandments that God has in Scripture, the character of God in Scripture, it's something that is not wrong or not sinful from His standard. And then he says things that are pure. Now, purity can often be mixed up with all of these things, because often we just throw out the word purity and we mean just, or we mean righteous, or we mean whatever it may be. But something that is pure is something that has not been made dirty by this world. So it's something that's not immodest. It doesn't promote immodesty, it doesn't dress or look immodest, and it doesn't encourage immodesty. Or it's something that's not perverted. You know, it's not a perverted joke, it's not a dirty joke. Or it's not like a cartoon with a whole bunch of dirty jokes. And those are super popular now, but they're honestly pretty lame because they're just impure. So he says, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, and then whatever things are lovely. Ooh, lovely. Do I smell lovely? That's kind of what it's talking about. Like, do I smell good? Is that like a good perfume? You know when you're walking through a perfume store and it stinks? That's not really what he's talking about, because perfume is kind of gross sometimes. But this is anything that is pleasant. Anything that, like, when you see it, you watch it, you look at it, it's just like, oh, that really just lifted my spirit. It can be a warm cup of cocoa. It can be a cold cup of cocoa, a mocha. It can be a slushie. I don't know why they're all drinks for me. I really, apparently, that's my love language. just kidding. But it's like a flower. It's a TV show or something that is just good, clean, fun. It's just good and pleasant. It's lovely. And then things that are of good report. I know this is a huge list, but it's going to break down pretty soon, so keep following with me. Anything that is of a good report is something that has a positive reputation. So this is something that when people talk about it, they're always like, you know, that's really good. You know, I respect that. You know, that place over there, like a restaurant with a good reputation. Everybody, when they talk about it, they're like, ooh, that place, it's cheap, but it's really, really good. You know, it's got a good reputation. It's got good servers. It's got everything. A TV show can have this. A friend that we have can have a good reputation. He knows the Bible well. She is super tall. I don't know, but has a good reputation. What is like something of a good reputation? I can't even think. He was baptized. She was baptized. Good reputation, you know. And then things that are virtuous. A high moral standard. That's what virtuous means. Or it's a strong understanding of the difference between what is right and wrong. So a virtuous is just something that knows what's right and wrong. Not by our own standard, but by God's standard. And it also does what's right and wrong because it's held to a higher standard or a higher level than what this world is held to. You know, there's so many things in this world that want to strip us of our moral standard. They want to encourage us to be okay with things that we shouldn't be okay with. Things like the encouragement of homosexuality and transgender. That's so popular in our culture today. But it's something that, as Christians, we should not be encouraging because it is a sin. Like the abuse of drugs and alcohol, something that a lot of directions are moving to encourage abuse because it's an escape. It'll give you that immediate satisfaction, but it's something that as Christians we should not encourage. And then finally, last thing on the list, things that are praiseworthy. Does anybody know what it means to praise? I know that's a word we say like almost every day, but what does it mean to praise? You guys can just shout out. Ben, yes. Say something's good. Ooh, I like that. Huh? That you love it? Yeah. Uh-huh. I agree completely. To praise means to, like you said, to show that something's good, to show that you appreciate something or that you admire something. So it means, you know when someone does something really nice to you and you can't just leave it at that, but you gotta, like, bake them cookies for it, or you gotta, like, if you have a really good server, you gotta leave a tip. You're like, hey, mom and dad, leave a good tip for that guy. He was good. Or praiseworthy. Anything that deserves our admiration. Anything that's worthy of our appreciation. Ben, I think you nailed it, to show that something is good. Yes. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, Paul's telling us to focus on something that fits into this whole list. And it's like, what in the world fits into this list? I can think of things that are noble, but maybe they're not lovely. I can think of things that are of a good report, but maybe it's not virtuous. So what in the world is going to fit into this list? Well, honestly, I can only think of two things that fit perfectly into this list. And that's Jesus and God's Word. Jesus and the Bible. These are what we need to be focusing on. These are what need to have our attention most of the time. What we need, like, this is the best opportunity for us to pay our attention. That's Jesus and the Bible. So then that brings us to the second point, because focusing on the Bible and focusing on Jesus can sometimes be tough in a world where if I'm bored, I can just turn on like 6 apps at the same time and watch Spider-Man cartoons. That's what I do when I'm bored. Just kidding. Sometimes, though, I really do. And we have all these things that are pulling for our attention. So how do we focus on Jesus in the Bible? How do we give it our attention? And that's our second point. Paul uses a very specific word at the end of verse 8. He tells us to meditate on these things. Does anybody know what it means to meditate? This is kind of a weird word. Yes?
Think about a lot.
Yes, think about a lot. Wow, you nailed it. Anybody else have ideas of meditation? Meditation ideas. Oftentimes, when we hear meditation, if you're anything like me, I think of like a small, bald person sitting in a corner with their legs crossed going, "Om, om, om." I'm just kidding, I'm not going to do it too long. But that is what we can so often think of, because Buddhist meditation has kind of like taken over to where when we think of meditation, we think of Buddhist meditation. But that's a lot different than what Christians do, because Buddhists sit in a specific way with their postures. They breathe a specific way in hopes of emptying their mind, completely disposing of anything that's in their mind, and just being thought-free. And then hopefully, if they master the art of thought-freeness, they will become masters over their human nature and be in complete control. But that's not why we meditate. That's not why Christians meditate. Meditation for us, what it means, is to think deeply or carefully about something. So it means, instead of that 8-second filter of, "Oh, that looks pretty cool. Oh, no, that looks boring. Okay, skip. Oh, that's pretty cool. Boring, skip." No, instead of that, we need to give Jesus and the Word of God deep thought, deep consideration. And I would argue, or I believe, that Christians have two aspects of meditation, and that's a thoughtful meditation and an active meditation. So what's a thoughtful meditation? That means simply thinking about Jesus, thinking about his sacrifice, that Jesus came to this world, died on a cross for us, and loved us. That Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." That Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." What does it mean to love him with my heart? What does it mean with my soul? What does it mean with my mind, with my strength? What does that mean? To just sit down, to let the iPhones, the iTouches, let Clash of Clans, let the clan support itself for a little bit, and just think about Jesus. Think about the Bible. Read a verse from Scripture and just say, "Lord, what does this mean to me personally?" But it shouldn't stop there. It shouldn't just be thoughtful. As Christians, we shouldn't just spend our lives thinking in like the closet of our room. We need to be active meditators. And what this means is to let Jesus and let the Bible, let it have a say in every aspect of our lives. So instead of just meditating and then going right back to Clash of Clans or right back to hanging with the friends on Twitter, I don't know what goes on these days. But instead of doing that, letting the Bible, letting Jesus come into each of our interactions to where when people talk to us, when we see things, when we think of things, we go, "Jesus, what do you think of that? What does the Bible say about this?" As a college student, I have to do this
not every day, because I'm not on my college campus every day, but every day I'm at college, I have to go, Lord, what do you think of this? Lord, what do you think of what that person's doing? And you guys do too, when you see things in your family, when you see things on your school campuses, because you guys are going into junior high, that's crazy. But when you see things on a junior high campus, or if you're homeschooled, see things within your siblings, you have to go, Jesus, what do you think of that? What does the Bible say about this? Instead of just moving through life without this active meditation. So we've seen what to meditate on. We've seen how to meditate on it. And then Paul gives us the final closer. It's like, it's the knockout punch. It's the knockout punch. Yeah, okay. So as we come to a close, verse 9, and I'm like the classic teacher where when I say that, that means I'm still going for like 20 minutes. Just kidding. That was a joke as well. So verse 9 says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Ooh, that rhymed. That felt like I was reading a Dr. Seuss book. One more time. "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Wow, doesn't that just feel like the ending of a Dr. Seuss book? Wow, Paul is Dr. Seuss! Okay, but Paul doesn't want any of us who are eighth graders now, so just you, Everett, but anybody listening to a teaching, Paul doesn't want us to leave a teaching or leave a study through Philippians without it having changed our lives. Ben, sorry, dude. You weren't here before, so we talked about Everett being the only eighth grader. Sorry, Ben. I know, dude. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But Paul wants us to take away, you know, like when you go to a restaurant, we don't just want to eat the food and leave, but we want to take out some with us. You know, like every time I go to Red Lobster, right before I'm about to leave, I say, "Hey, I need some more rolls, some more biscuits." And then they're like, "Okay." And then I'm like, "Oh, I gotta go. Can you put it to go?" Free biscuits to go! But Paul, you guys are gonna try that next time, huh? Next time you go to a place with bread? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are. So Paul wants us to apply what we've learned. And to apply something from God's word, it means to just start living by it. To actually practice it. You know when you're training for sports? I never did this. I never played sports, but I played music. So when you're training for sports or practicing music, you can't just go to the lesson and then not think about it for the whole week. You can't just go to practice and then like eat a whole bunch of candy and never get off your couch for the wet rest of the week. No, you would be kicked off the team, and your musical teacher would grab a drumstick and smack your hand with it. No! Paul encourages us to, like we put music, like we put art, like we put sports to practice. Paul wants us to put this to practice. So, whatever it may be that you've taken from this book, put it to practice. If it's resting on his joy, resting on the God of peace, trying to have that same mind of Christ, that he would leave heaven and come to this earth and die on the cross for us, trying to have that mind. Whatever it may be, whatever you took from this series or whatever you took from the teaching today, to meditate on God's word, to think about Jesus, but then to be active with it, Paul wants us to put it to practice. And as soon as you leave, because that's always the best time to practice music, right? Right after the lesson, pull out the sheet music or pull out the guitar and start going because it's fresh. It's fresh in your mind. And like, I love this quote. It's a super pun, but it's like an impactful pun. It's 7 days without... I'm gonna kill it. Wait. 7 days... when a Christian doesn't read their Bible makes 1 week. Because you're not strong, you're not being strengthened by the, get it, 7 days, 1 week. Weak, like not strong.
Makes a person weak. Okay. But we do need to be in the Word all the time. We do need to be putting these things to practice all the time. And then Paul says, the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace. That's crazy. And that's actually very important. What he's saying is, the more you get to know God, the closer you get to God, the more you become like him, the more you'll be able to understand his peace and just rest on it. Just float on the lazy river of Jesus. But it's not lazy, because laziness is a sin. But just to rest on Christ and rest on his peace. And then Paul ends this whole letter in verse 23, the same way he started it, praying that God's grace, his kindness, that it'll be with us. And that prayer, though it was prayed over the church of Philippi thousands of years ago, is still super, super important to us this very day. So let's allow Paul to pray that over us. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Paul's hard work, that he wants us to be in your word, to know Jesus more, to not just be carried away by the currents of this world, but to be grounded in you and to allow you to be our anchor, to where we'd rather spend time thinking about you, to where we'd rather spend time thinking about Jesus, Lord. So teach us how to meditate. Teach us how to be active meditators. And Lord, as Paul prayed, let your grace be with us. It's so important, Lord. We need your grace to get through every single day. So Lord, please let your grace be with us. And we pray all this in your name. We pray for the week ahead of us. We pray that you would go with us and be in each of our interactions. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, guys, we're a little early, so...